It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yeah, but they got a lot of things for us to be afeared about. You know, here on Declare Your Independence, with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. There is a lot of things I want to talk about today, and let me tell you what's going to happen. In the second hour, we're going to have Barbara Peterson. Now, she is a columnist on Freedom's Phoenix, and she runs a website called Farm Wars. And she was a detention correctional officer or whatever in California. It was her career. And when she retired, she moved to a little farm that she has in Oregon. And she raises chickens, has some goats, you know, some other farm animals, got, a parrot, I think. I mean, you know, she's just, you know, living on the land. And she's really been following this S-510 thing. And I wanted to get someone that really had a vested interest in this because it's – I'll tell you what I'm concerned about. Of all the things that we cover and all the things that we do, you know, I'm relatively concerned about, you know, one main thing, surviving. I mean, you know, in the end, freedom always wins. It just gets really messy first. But the thing is freedom going to be found in our lifetime? Is it going to be here in America or not? And there's some articles that we have on Freedom's Phoenix today that just really kind of, you know, I'll put it up here so that you can see what we're talking about. And on the video, and I'll describe it to you for the radio audience. We have WikiLeaks now. Julian Assange, you know, how much is he in trouble? Well, he's got Interpol red alert on him now. You know, he's going traveling anywhere, they're going to say hello and haul his butt off to, you know, Sweden or whatever on these sex charges and such. If you're not allowed to complain, then, you know, we know where we're at, and this is global now. Everything's global. You know, this is where we're going. Is can you go anywhere on the planet? And how bad does it have to get for how many millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions, billions of people before you start going, man, this is getting bad? Let me tell you what my concern is. Those of us that know, those of us that have been following the trends, those of us that know that, you know, there's, you know, things happen, know that there's going to come a time when we are going to have to just survive, sustain ourselves. You set aside food, you set aside seeds. Now, we were promoting heavily last year the seed bank, and there's a kit that they have that you buy acres of seeds, and it comes in a PVC tube about this big, you know, about a foot long and about 5 inches in diameter, and it's capped on both sides, and you pull out all these little Mylar bags of different kinds of seeds. And it gives you a little bit of information in there, you know, different parts of the country where to plant it and such. So I'm going, okay, this is a really good idea. So we promoted that. We got a few acres of it. We had a lot of friends. I bet you just people I know is over 40, 50 acres of this stuff that we bought amongst us and our friends just to have some seeds. It was a good idea. They weren't cheap, but, you know, it was all packaged up and ready to go, and that was a good idea. Then you get some food. You get some staples. You get the, you know, I'm the joke always went, you know, you can't outrun the bear. Well, you know, the answer is I don't have to outrun the bear. I just have to outrun you. So we're just trying to, you know, outrun the other guys. So you know, we're the last one standing. We're going to rise up and create a free society later. How much is later? How long is later? What we got to, you know, later for? So you think of technology and different things that you can have. We've talked about it on the show here. I have good friends that live out in rural Arizona that have accumulated power accumulating devices. You got windmills and solar and backup batteries for the storage and generators and wells and septic tanks and satellite communications and cell phones and totally off-grid living in nice homes. It can be done. The thing is that if you're thinking what's coming and you're looking for a place to go in America or a lot of times anywhere on the planet, and you say, you know what I want to do? I just want to supply my own needs. You know, I'll take the time. You know, all of a sudden I'm not working for the man and paying taxes and having, two income family just to be able to afford to be able to, you know, live in this country. You know, you're American. You owe it. You have an obligation. Heck, your unborn children got a debt. I mean, it just gets so bad to where finally the disincentive is so much, you just, man, I'm unplugged. I'm living in a van down by the river, all right? When you come to the conclusion that, as a lot of people have, I mean, you know, certainly the Free State Project and Free Keene and a lot of people listening to the LRN network, they are already of this mind. They're educated. They get it. So they're getting ready to supply their own needs, and you want to do some farming. Well, here in Arizona, we have long growing season. What a lot of people don't know about Arizona, you add water, stuff grows. I mean, you got sunshine. Well, with the irrigation that's done, I remember one time when I was about 20 years old, I was in Tennessee, and I was dating a girl that lived on a farm. Trish the Dish. I forgot all about that. Excuse me. She lived on a farm with her family, and they had a wheat farm. Well, they were so concerned about, you know, is there rain, too much rain, not enough rain, wind, you know, all kinds of stuff that would affect the crops. A lot of things that we don't worry about here in Arizona. All you got to worry about is, you know, turning on the irrigation and coming in from the rivers or the aquifers or the pumps, and then, you know, boom, you water it and it grows. So I asked them, I just looked at them, I go, did you guys ever think of irrigating? And they're like, you stupid kid. You know, we're hilly out in the, you know what, never crossed their mind, it's got to rain. That's how they farm. So I'm like, okay, there's a lot of places that you have to do that, and you got growing seasons and so on. Here, you're less like, certainly in a home garden, we don't even plant for the summer. From June, July, August, around, you know, the peak of the summer, in parts of September, we don't even attempt to grow anything. It's too hot. You're shading stuff from the sun. But the rest of the year, even this time in the winter, there are things that grow. Certainly with any kind of little bit of protection, you know, you can grow a lot. You got like a little greenhouse, man. You're growing, you know, 9 months out of it. You can go 12 months here in Arizona. So we're thinking, you know, what if there's some places that we can go and find a little canyon somewhere? There's small communities all in northern Arizona. There's a lot of places that may have growing seasons. So we go there and we just kind of, you know what? We can move Freedom's Phoenix wherever we can get internet access. Heck, got satellite, and that's getting better. We can do the radio show from anywhere. We can do Freedom's Phoenix. We don't have to be in the city. You know, we don't have to do battle, you know, with the man face-to-face all the time. But we were thinking, okay, well, then we could grow enough. We have enough land. We get enough acreage. You know, what do you need? 3, 4, 5 acres? Heck, a backyard? I mean, it depends how many people you're trying to support and family and so on. If you're making enough, we've been learning. You know, we were planting stuff. What grows? What does better? What produces the most calories? What about chickens, eggs? And then 510 comes along. This is going to have a big impact on what I plan to do with the rest of my life. There are some things I want to read to you and I want to show you today before we get into the second hour. You stay right there. There's some information I want to share. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. But the man, they don't want you to be independent, do they? No, they don't. They, them, those. Who are they? Who are they, Ernie? Who are they? I don't know, not us. You know, there are those that just want to be left alone and those that just won't leave you alone. Imagine this. You're a smart person. You know, you got some skills. You know how, you know, grandma told you how to make mayonnaise. I mean, you know, you can do something. So one of the things that was one of the most popular articles we ever had on Freedom's Phoenix was amazing. My wife didn't understand. She was like, I go, we've been talking about, oh, we got chickens when they were small. A lot of our friends, you know, got chickens. A lot of the activists got a couple of chickens. Some have more than others. And we were just doing this chicken thing. Well, it was a skill that we were learning. And, you know, how productive can they be? How much does it cost to do them? How much care do they need? I mean, you know, the temperatures. And so, I mean, you know, what is it that we need to survive? You know, you want meat. I mean, you know, you probably better getting rabbits, you know. But, I mean, it's just we're learning things. So we go, all right, you know, it's a lot easier to eat an egg than it is, you know, skin a chicken. So I'm good with this egg thing. So we go, all right, let's go ahead and get the chickens. We did. And after a few months, you know, it probably took, I don't know, 5-6 months before they started laying. We got our first egg. My wife took a picture of it with a little digital camera of it sitting on a table in our backyard, a little patio table. And in the background, you could see the little coop, you know, and it had this egg, you know, a close-up of an egg. Our first egg, yay! And then we did, you know, made mayonnaise one time, and then we did, you know, just having some fun. She took that, and I said, you got to put that up. Everybody wants to see this. You know, we've been talking about it forever. Put it up. No, no, nobody cares. I go, no, seriously, do it. So she wrote an article. She had the picture of the egg in our backyard, and, you know, so it's a monster egg. So she had put that up on Freedom's Phoenix. Boom. Boom. I mean, it was, you know, one of the highest traffic articles that we've had. And she's like, wow, why would anybody? And that got her inspired. So you see a lot of postings and stuff by Donna Lott. She'll get things over at Daily Paul. That's one of her favorite sites. So she's always pulling stuff over from dailypaul.com. And it was the reason was is because I think a lot of people were interested in this and learning, you know, what we learned and, you know, better us than them, I guess, until it's time for them to do it. And if you have these skills and you start understanding that, well, things are getting bad. Well, you know, you move out. Well, the bad guys know this, too. And the proof is S510, because think about it. If you are able to produce food and you believe that food is going to be a big commodity. I mean, this is, oh, man, I'd be wanting to eat. You know, the grocery shelves are empty, and dang it, I wish I had me some more beans. Well, Jim Rogers, you know, the billionaire biker, you know, he's been all over the world, and he's saying, man, let me tell you who the rich Ferrari drivers are going to be. It's going to be the farmers. It's going to be people that can make food, produce calories outside the system. These guys are the ones that's going to be ka-ching. Well, what did we see in just the last year? I mean, you know, prices are doubling. Just in the last few months, what, 40, 60% on some commodities? I mean, this is food commodities. I mean, this is getting stupid. So if you're able to produce enough food to sustain yourself, and you put a table at the front of your property out by the road, and you get your own little farmer market, and saying, you know, I have some extra cucumbers and pumpkins and corn and eggs and milk and, you know, whatever you are able to produce. And I know goat's milk is really popular. A lot of people want to have goat's milk. So people have goats. I have some friends that have a farm in Washington State up by the Canadian border. And one of their neighbors, he's constantly have more goat milk than he knows what to do with. So he kind of bars it and trades it and gets some whatever. And so that is what's going to be illegal because they love you. Because they want you to be safe. You know, whenever you know that there's some legislation coming, you know they got something on the shelf that they're dusting off, they're going to be able to, you know, tyrannize us a little bit more. When they have the news just flood you with, oh, my goodness, we had a recall on peanut butter. There was salmonella on some lettuce somewhere. You know, you have stuff outside, you're growing things, and it must be I don't know, pristine sanitary, never going to have anybody ever get sick from anything, and if there is, we got a law. This is dangerous. Let me tell you, you know, why I'm so concerned, and it will affect decisions that I make for the rest of my life if this 510 passes. Well, it looks like it will. I mean, it's passed the House, then the Senate. Now it's going back for a reconciliation vote. You know, they're going blah, 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 and it still possibly could be stopped, but I wouldn't count on it. They want to stop you from producing your own food and any surplus that you have, getting anything for it. You have to be in the system. Now, imagine you move to a small community. You set up that table out front and you think, ah, nobody's going to care. Right up until the local grocer, you know, the local dairy farmer, the local chicken guy, the local whatever says, hey, man, you know, I got a shiny badge to call to go sick on you. And that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to say, this guy must be put out of business. I have personal experience with this. When I had my pizza restaurant, my competitors were constantly calling the government because my children were there. He's got slave labor. He has children. He's able to undercut us as a higher quality product at a lower price because his labor cost, whatever, you know, they rationalized in their head, it was certainly, you know, their livelihood. And they're not in free market competition. They're not about, you know, doing it themselves. Plus, you have the law is such that they can't have inexpensive labor. They have to pay enormous amount. It just prices people out of competition. I have four children. You know, they were working the dinner rush, you know, in the evenings at least four or five nights a week, you know, right in the peak for like an hour and a half, 2 hours. You know, I didn't have a bunch of employees. It gave me an advantage, you know, like I was a Chinese buffet or a farmer. But the law is if they're your kids or your grandchildren, then you're good. Yay. I got a loophole. Like Von Mises said, loophole. What is loophole? And I explained it to him, and he goes, oh, loophole's another word for freedom. Okay, I get it. Well, so we had a little bit of freedom. Well, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be in competition with somebody that makes their livelihood on being in the system. I have to pay my tax. I have to get regular. I have to get inspected. I have to fill out my little forms. And this, you know, farmer market kind of little guy in the front yard out there has got the, you know, lemonade stands. I mean, they're actually going after lemonade stands. Why? Because it represents not just free market and capitalism and whatever and entrepreneurship and all that. It is a toehold for food, for being able to make money, for selling commodities that people want and need. Now, I have people that we were talking about this, and they go, well, what if you just traded for it? What if you just bartered? Or you say, you know what? I only take silver. Give me some old junk silver. Give me some pre-1964 silver coins, 90% silver. U.S. I will trade you this egg for one thin old dime. Will you do that? Will you be able to do it? I don't think so. I think that this entire mechanism is being set up to make sure that we are not able to have any kind of a cash flow from surplus food that those of us that are smart enough are starting to get our minds wrapped around just surviving this thing and planting food. Are we going to save it here or we got to go somewhere else? That's what we'll talk about when we come back here on Declare Your Independence. Don't go away.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the heat is on. Yeah, that's right. It's on here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, from beautiful Phoenix, where it's very nice, very nice. I mean, you know, I had to wear jeans, man. I can't be doing the shorts anymore. It's getting a little bit nipply in the morning, but it's so nice this time. You know, it's in, you know, we're like, brr, it made it into the 60s. And then it's usually in the 70s during this time. Oh, it's very nice. You should come to the Freedom Summit. FreedomSummit.com. Make sure you go check that out. And we have a lot of great programs. I mean, there's a lot of things to do there, but I want to get to this. I want to show you a chart. For those that are viewing this, you can see this. This is a stock. It's PAAS, and it's just a Pan American Silver. It's just a mining company. I knew what was coming. So I haven't had a stock market account. You know, I got Ameritrade or whatever. I hadn't had a stock market account for 10 years. And I go, you know, I just know where I can go. You know what? I'm going to go ahead and open up one just so I can say I did. You see this chart? It's up over $38.51 a share now. And I bought it just less than 2 months ago when it was down here about $24, $25. And now it's $38. Am I what? Just not an idiot. You know, I knew what was going to happen. So then we look at, you know, let's go ahead and take a look at gold. It's at $13.88 now. You know, does $1,500 seem that far away? $2,000, $3,000? You know, no. And then we got silver. What's silver at now? Silver's at $28.39. So it'll break 30, and then it's, you know, to the moon, Alice. So I'm what's kind of driving this stuff? Today on Freedom's Phoenix, you have this one article. It's U.S. ready to back bigger EU, European Union, stability fund. Well, the United States is ready to support the extension of the European Financial Stability Facility via an extra commitment of money from the International Monetary Fund, a U.S. official told Reuters on Wednesday. So we're getting involved in Europe's bailout, too. Wow. And then what are we looking at the stock market today? Shot up. It's up 257 points. Why? Well, it went into the 10th. That broke 11,000 yesterday during trading. And so on, they're going, ooh, man, it could be going down. It's going, oh my God, it's going to go down. Boom. Up 257 points based on, doesn't matter. You know, this is all just pretend. It benefits, I don't know, some companies. Because the Dow's what? You know, 30 companies. I mean, wow. And it's inflated dollars anyway, so what do we care? So then we go to the United States and Panama sign new tax information exchange agreement. Now, this is something that is of interest to a lot of people. Is Panama dead? We have an article up from The Sovereign Man. It's sovereignman.com, I believe. You go to the site, and we put it under off-grid living a lot because he's about, you know, going around the world. And where do you go? I mean, where are you going to find freedom? How are you going to, you know, dodge the man? You know, and you can do it legally. You know, we have. And he's talking about these tax agreements between countries are not, you know, necessarily bad, except for the fact that they're taxing you to begin with. You know, that's one of the problems. And what they do is he gives an example of like Australia and Malaysia have a deal to where if you're an individual or a corporation and you're doing business in one of the countries, you're not paying taxes on the same income in both countries. They go, ah, we don't want to do that. We want to promote trade and kind of, okay, fine. But here in America, we have the heavy hand of we're the banks and we can do whatever the heck we want. So what'd they do? The article is titled, Is Panama Dead? And he just highlights five things here. One, the treaty is clearly one-sided, designed for the U.S. government to obtain information from the Panamanian financial system about U.S. taxpayers, not the other way around. So you don't have Panama gets to have access to United States information, but gosh darn it, if we ain't making sure we're getting it from Panama. Because Panama has a large expatriates of Americans there because of the bases in the canal and so on. So there are a lot of people I know, they go and visit Panama. They even may have bought land there. They, you know, have some ties and opportunities there. Two, the requesting party, U.S. government, does not need to provide detail on the targets of its request. The requesting party, three, the requesting party does not even need to have an immediate use for the information being requested, like a, you know, imminent lawsuit or criminal tax investigation or anything. It's just we got access. Give us the information. We're total information awareness. Okay. Four, information about beneficial ownership of corporations and foundations is also fair game. So this is like anybody incorporates down there or they have a foundation or anything, you know, whatever. You know, we get all that, too. The sharing of information is retroactive. They can request information from years ago as long as the records exist. Okay. So I'm, you know, there is a lot of reasons to be concerned. You know, I'm really, you know, how bad does it have to get? How bad will it get? Well, there's an article on there we have. It's called Lessons from the Fall of Rome. And the main thing is that they're talking about is this country worth saving? And it goes through the history of Rome and how it went from this leader to this leader to this leader, and then they started having Caesars and emperors and kind of gotten it just devolved into the more consolidated you have power and the more homogenous or big the state is, you know, everything's a contagion. You know, they if you got central plan, well, everybody's on the plan. If something's wrong with the plan, everybody suffers. You don't have this diversity of anything. It's all a central plan. Well, is there a central plan for freedom? I don't think so. You know, freedom is about not having a central plan. You know, go do what you want. Well, it goes through the what we're really fighting is not the state as much as we're fighting ourselves. We continually support this idea of the state, of the government. And they're really creative in how they get you to do it, too. I mean, you know, as a young person, you're pledging allegiance from your first memories. You're going to school, man. And then what do? They add kindergarten. You know, they extended it into junior high. They extended it into high school. They extended it into college. You know, they want to get you your mind more and more, certainly while it's pliable as you're young and you're growing up. And then they, well, it's not working. We're not getting them, you know, to be our little cogs in our machine enough, so we need to go younger, go to kindergarten. Then they go to preschool. Then they got here in Arizona, man, they got preschool. It's like nursery, you know, it was government funded. That was one of Janet Napolitano's things. Big deal. Gotta have, you know, government funded, you know, subsidized so you can have your 3-year-old go in and get babysat. This is dangerous stuff. And are we going to continue to support this system with our taxes and our sweat and our toil and our future generations to just have this keep plodding along? How long can they do that? Do they think that it's starting to crumble? I think this S510 is a really good sign. They're like, hey, man, we don't want to compete with people out there sustaining themselves, being off-grid. The technology is changing. We had on Freedom's Phoenix, you go to the off-grid living section, there was a story that we had that called a portable farm. And all it is a tank that's probably, oh, I don't know, it's like the size of a big hot tub, you know, a jacuzzi or something. And you have these koi-like fish that are in there. Well, of course, they grow and you can eat them. But what they do is it's on top of it. I mean, right next to it, you have a hydroponics where it filters the water and the nutrients from the waste of the fish is just, you know, like candy to vegetables. So you've got meat and vegetables, and it's in a small area the size of a greenhouse, and you're sitting here producing food. How does that enter into it? Got to have the safety police coming in checking my food? The food police. There's some more we want to go over when we come back before we talk to Barbara Peterson from Farm Wars. FarmWars.com. Go check that out during the break. And I'm telling you, you know, there's lots of things to be concerned about. Talk about more here and Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Survive, breathe in and out and stuff, you know, and spend time with my family and enjoy holidays. And just, you know, what happened to the American lifestyle that we used to embrace and be proud of and talk about and experience? And does the next generation even remember what it used to be like in this country? I mean, it used to be, you know, you work 5 days a week, 8 hours a day, and, you know, mom stayed home and you lived a decent life. So one thing we're going to be talking about Friday night, one of the gentlemen that's going to be speaking about the housing crisis, mortgage, foreclosure gate, what do you want to talk about, the biggest bank robbery in human history. And it's really just an excuse to segue into how we're going to survive this thing. And He makes the point that because of the way the monetary and the Fed system is, and interest and homes and property taxes and all this, you know, it was designed to milk you. You are just a slave to the system, and they don't want you to get out of this. It's sure as heck not, you know, lead the way for anybody. I give you an example. When you have someone, you know, I have all these guys that, you know, I don't pay taxes. I haven't filed in so many years. Those are the guys that, you know, usually aren't gone after. You know, certainly if they're not a gazillionaire or something, they don't bug those guys. They go after the guys that are teaching other people to do that. That's who they go after. So when you have, you know, these co-ops and these farm outlets, or you just these little food markets, farmers markets and so on, and you got SWAT teams. Why? It's a psyop. It's social and economic engineering at the barrel of a gun. What kind of people are the ones that they justify doing it? They like doing it. Yeah. Hut, 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 hut. I mean, who are these people? Well, you know, you want to get information from the government. You're going to have a long time, you know, waiting on stuff. You know, they're doing bad stuff, and nobody's going to tell you. You're not going to hear about it and so on. Well, here comes WikiLeaks. You know, I remember when they first started, you know, different corporation information is getting out, and they didn't like it none too much. I remember a judge in California tried to, you know, stop them, and they're like, what are you, stupid? You know, they just moved their servers around. You know, this battle's been going on for years. Well, what happened was, now we have the Fed's massive redaction of which mutual funds received the loans from the TARP and so on. Well, we put this up, and there is a link to all to the documents. Remember, we were hearing about this. Oh, the Fed's going to release the lending documents. You know, we now know who received help from one of the Fed's bank lending programs called the AMLF asset-backed commercial paper money market mutual fund liquidity facility. You know, they loaned the money to mutual funds that were inundated with their redemptions by helping them sell liquid assets. Well, it goes on and on and on about what they did and how. But from page 40-something to 2000-something, it's just NA, not available, redacted, done. You know, it's all, oh, we're going to release blacked out paper. So you go, well, who do you have to, you know, get to? Who's going to do this? Well, here we have, there was an interview that was done by WikiLeaks, and he is talking to, it doesn't matter, he's one of the media outlets, and they we got this story from Raw Story, and he was talking to someone else, but what happened was, he goes, you know, I have 5 gigabytes of just docs on a bank, a big bank. That's going to go down. Maybe we go, ooh, everybody wants to see this one. Well, the scuttlebutt is, it's Bank of America. How much will they go to get hold of Julian now? He's on the Interpol red alert list. And what's he going to share? You know, he's going to give the internal memos or whatever of these execs going, you know, we're going to rape the planet. Yeah, I'm sure. You know, I mean, but is this going to change people? It's going to what? I think the biggest thing is it gets to us to see who the good and the bad guys are. I mean, when you got, you know, the O'Reilly factor, you know, out there, and, you know, even Huckabee, death sentence, life imprisonment for Julian Assange. He's, you know, what I'm going, wow, which side are they on? Okay. You know, then you have things like, you know, the redaction. When you do get something from the government, they just redact it. Well, I want to read a couple of paragraphs from this one article. You know, is it really worth saving? You know, and it's from A Sovereign Man. You go up and you'll look at it, the lessons from Rome. Government-controlled educational systems institutionalize us from childhood. That governments are just, and that we should all subordinate ourselves to authority and to the greater good, and that they dictate in their sole discretion. You know, they decide. You're dealing with a mob mentality, plain and simple. Do you want to waste limited resources, time, money, energy, trying to convince your neighbor that he/she should not expect free money from the government? Well, I think that'd be good. I mean, you know, they shouldn't expect free money and get the moral argument and everything. You know, but then he goes on to say you could spend a lifetime trying to change ideology and not make a dent. People have to choose for themselves to wake up. It cannot be forced upon them. You know, this kind of reminds me we're going to go to Iraq and we're going to spread democracy with our Emlyn Abrams. You know, I mean, you know, if they're going to do whatever they're going to do, all you're doing is just throwing people into, you know, the resistance, the insurgents. You know, if you just I don't know, if you bombed them with leaflets, you know, just to translate the Declaration of Independence in their language, you probably have more impact than anything else. I mean, just in fact, I talked to a CIA agent about that very thing. And that's another long story. Let's go on and read this. And until that happens, they're going to keep asking for more security and more control because it's the way their values have been programmed. When you think about it, what we call a country is nothing more than a large concentration of people who share common values. Over time, those values adjust and evolve. Today, cultures in many countries value things like fake security, subordination, and ignorance over freedom, independence, and awareness. When it appears more and more each day that those common values diverge from your own, all that's left of a country are irrelevant, invisible lines on a map. I don't find these worth fighting for. Sounds like Stephen Molyneux. Stephen Molyneux from Toronto. He's going to be at the Freedom Summit. He's doing an hour and a half program, you know, giving him a long time. He's getting the longest time at the summit on Sunday, and we're encouraging a lot of the young people and the volunteerists to come by and, you know, $20, they get their lunch and have sandwich tables out there and so on. Because I want them to hear this perspective that it's just lines on a map. And all they are, you look at a map of the world and all the little colors, all they are is just farms. And we're just livestock. As long as we accept that, that's exactly how we're going to be treated. Well, we know now that the TSA, they did their best to make sure that they didn't have any disruption in the traveling on the day before Thanksgiving and the opt-out day and everything. They were cordoning off a lot of the scanners. They had them roped off. They wrapped in tape. We hadn't installed them yet. I mean, you know, whatever. They were just, you know, move along. We don't need, you know, issues. Well, I think it's greater than that. They're starting to back off. Okay, we're not going to, you know, I don't know, frisk the stewardesses or something. But the concern really isn't that. You know, they pat us down, you know, in different places, or they don't get, I mean, if you're going to have the security, well, you know, this is, what did you think was going to happen? It's why we have this. Nobody is allowed to even ask why. And if you do, I saw Dr. Paul on CNN or Fox, whatever, all the same. He was on television. They had this, you know, the blonde babe that used to be in the Bush administration, you know, fill in the blank, what's her name? And she's, oh, yeah, we got it. And he goes, look, why are they trying to kill us? They're trying to kill us. They want to kill us. Why? Well, I don't care why. She actually said this. I don't care why. I just want to be safe. And he's like, you know, if you don't ask why, then, you know, you're missing the whole point. How about people not want to kill us? Then I don't have to, you know, appear naked before the king or get groped by the king's men. This is so simple. Is this battle? Because for people to wake up, it has to be their ox getting gored. And I think everybody's ox is going to get gored. So what's our role now? Can we be an example? Can we go somewhere and be a light? Is the only thing we do be a lighthouse? Well, that's what we're trying to do. Freedom Summit's been doing it for a decade. 5 years of Freedom's Phoenix. Just making you aware, because some of you want to be free. And we want to help. We'll be right back with Barbara Peterson from FarmWars.info. Got that right. In a little bit.